Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me, as always, are Ben and Cam. After some catastrophes last week, we're back. Starting spooky season off, we're going to do Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein. To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail. The Frankenstein drink. It comes to us from Cocktails with Class. Very similar name. Should we send a cease and desist?
What?
might turn out bad for us.
Yeah, I feel like that's a no you type of situation.
Hey, oh shit! They have zero ratings on their blog page.
They sent us an Uno reverse card. We're fucked.
Also, copyright 2022. Yeah, they're getting a cease and desist.
Okay, they update the copyright every year, probably on their website. It's just automatic. Like it just says copyright current year on the website.
Cease your operations now. To make a Frankenstein drink, you're gonna need some vodka, about 2 ounces. You're gonna need 3/4 of an ounce of blue curacao, 1.5 ounces of pineapple juice, and 1.5 ounces of orange juice. You're gonna shake that shit up, and you're gonna pour it into your glass, and it's gonna come out green, because Frankenstein is sort of green. Well, Frankenstein's monster, if we want to be accurate to
the... Oh fuck, not one of these guys.
This kind of reminds me of what was the thing we did for Heather's, the like blue cooler?
Yeah,
kind of gives me similar vibes to that. If you want to make yourself a Frankenstein cocktail, hit up the Drizzling Casker links below to get yourself some alcohol delivered directly to your door. And the recipe will be below in the show notes, so you can know what you're doing. Check out Young Frankenstein on HBO Max as of recording. We're going to spoil it.
Say, I don't know how much there is. There's a couple factors in making this movie hard to spoil. One, it's from 1974?
Yep.
Two, it's pretty much the story of Frankenstein. So, like, kind of hard. Kind of hard to be like, oh, hey, here's this crazy thing that happens. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein is a 1974 comedy film directed by Mel Brooks, written by Gene Wilder, Mel Brooks, and Mary Shelley. She didn't actually write the screenplay, but it was inspired by her novel, Frankenstein. Currently sits at an 8 out of 10 on IMDb. It was nominated for 2 Oscars. Best Writing, Screenplay Adapted from Other Material, and Best Sound. And it's the story of an American grandson of the infamous scientist, Frankenstein, struggling to prove that his grandfather was not as insane as people believe. He's invited to Transylvania, where he discovers the process that reanimates a dead body. It stars Gene Wilder, Madeline Kahn, Marty Feldman, Peter Boyle, Cloris Leachman, Terry Garr, Gene Hackman was in there. I'm sure Ben's got some tie-ins to something.
Well, I mean, there's a lot. Cloris Leachman, always famously in my heart for playing Malcolm's grandma in Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes.
Peter Boyle, Raymond's dad. Everybody loves Raymond.
When Cam and I were watching, I was like, God, the monster looks so familiar. Who is he? And Cam like looked it up, and he's like, he was in Everybody Loves Raymond. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, he was his dad.
Yeah,
because he's got like the like hair piece on and stuff, so he looks a little deformed and different, but like you can tell that it's him.
Okay, this one's kind of cool. I'm looking at IMDb here. So in the beginning, when that like doctor says something to Frankenstein, and Frankenstein kind of like freaks out, the young guy. Mm-hmm. He was the voice of Brainy Smurf in the Smurfs. Kind of cool. And then the occasional, you know, how it was back in the day. You were just kind of a character actor. You did every sitcom, TV show, drama.
You did your episode on MASH?
No, because he was in the movie MASH.
Oh.
What? Oh. What a flex. Oh, shit. You thought you were memeing him, but he hit you. With the meme.
Is the MASH movie any good, Ben?
Yeah. It's good. It's It's more true to the novel than the show is. The show's a lot more loose, like, using the novel kind of just for the characters and the characterizations. Whereas the movie is a lot more of a true adaptation. I think the show's better, but I also think it's easy to find your footing and be better when you have 30 fucking years worth of shows to do it versus an hour and a half or 2 hour movie.
Oh, wait. So it's completely different people in the...
Yeah, it's not the same cast.
Oh.
No, weird. Donald Sutherland plays Hawk. There's one cast member that's the same, and that is Gary Berghoff, who plays Radar.
Hmm.
Yep.
I hadn't seen this movie. Cam, had you?
No, I have not.
Ben, I'm sure you've seen this thing like a million times. You've never seen this movie?
Never seen it.
Wow. After you like forced us to watch Blazing Saddles. I was expecting this one to be like...
One. I still like Blazing Saddles. I like the movie. Whatever. Cancel me. Don't care.
No. Maybe. But no.
No, I've never seen this movie. I'll say it. We're in year three? Are we in year three of this thing? This bad boy? This is our third Halloween?
Something like that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right. I'm going to let you boys in on a secret. I don't much care for scary movies.
Oh, I don't either. I think they're usually bad.
It's not even a quality thing. I just don't really care for them. And I thought, you know, to get kind of ease our way into it, let's start with just kind of a fun Halloween-themed movie. And
I'd be fine with not watching any in October, ever. I don't like them either. I don't know.
I'm okay with, like, you know, I get it. And I don't fully hate them. They're just not my thing. So when it was like, oh, let's pick a movie to watch, I was like, well, I need to ease my way into some spooky shit. So let's start with something that's not super spooky.
Apparently, Hannah told me that her dad loves this movie and would play it all the time. She was surprised when I had not seen it.
I feel like my dad loved this movie. I don't think we ever... Maybe we did have it on DVD, but I'd never seen it. I think he watched it with my brother, but...
What were your expectations going in, Ben? As somebody who likes Mel Brooks, I feel like you... What am I correct saying, assuming that you like Mel Brooks quite a bit?
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Okay, I do. Right. I enjoy Mel
Brooks. What were your expectations going in?
To be honest, I was expecting, for what this movie gave us, I was expecting more Mel Brooks, if that makes sense. I was expecting more kind of cutaway, off-the-cuff, random... Because, you know, you think of Mel Brooks, you think Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, you think of those things where it's like the random oddball joke.
Yeah.
And this movie stayed kind of, like, on point a lot more than I was expecting a Mel Brooks movie to. Don't get me wrong, there was still the random, like, weird, off-the-cuff type jokes. Yeah, or, you know, the things like the hunch or the hump on the shoulder.
Like hollow.
Switching. Things like that. The talk about the fact that the creature would have a giant schwanz. That's classic Mel Brooks. I love the putting on the Ritz scene. I knew that scene existed. I've seen that clip a bunch of times, but yeah, this movie's not as Mel Brooksy as you would expect based off of other things that you might have seen of his.
Which maybe that's why it's his highest rated one. It's because it was the most like narrative driven, like straightforward one. It does kind of go off the rails a little bit towards the end, I will say. When everyone's banging the monster or... I kind of agree with that. Like, I feel like I was expecting a little bit a little bit more like out there, like a little more oddball, but I think it, I don't know. I think I liked it a little bit more because it kind of stayed on the tracks. Like, it was still like, there was still plenty of humor and cracking the jokes, but I think I did like that. It kind of like stayed kind of with the story and kind of saw it through for the most part. Cam, what did you expect? You'd seen Blazing Saddles. You're a Spaceball boy. what were you like? You were like, is it going to be Spaceballs but Frankenstein, or is it going to be Blazing Saddles but horror?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously calling it horror is pretty, I don't know. I don't think it, I mean, it's not intended to be reaching. Very horror. Yeah. It has a spooky theme, but I wouldn't say horror by any means. No, I mean, what was I expecting? It's hard to tell, because I was expecting something when I watched Blazing Saddles, and it wasn't really that from having watched, like, Spaceballs, but then, so then it's just kind of like, well, okay, I don't really know what to expect going in to this. And I guess it was about what I expected. Like, I thought the movie was fine. Like, it had funny moments. It had a fair amount of funny moments, but it wasn't, like, back-to-back jokes or like gags and stuff like that a lot. Like there were some chuckles, but it wasn't like there wasn't anything that I was like, a lot of times was like, wow, that's hilarious, you know. I will say the scene of them doing the musical part was funny, but that was probably the funniest part, I think, of the whole movie.
Yeah, I like Gene Wilder. I think he's really good.
I don't know if his comedy's for me, if I'm being honest with you. After seeing some of his stuff, I don't know if it's for me.
I think Marty Feldman carries a lot of the scenes.
For sure. I think he's the... I was going to say, I think that if there is any character who's supposed to be like the zany off-the-wall comedy relief, not relief, but you know, he's... I think it's Igor for sure.
Igor.
Yes, Igor.
So many of his bits were just so dumb that it you know, you can't help but laugh.
I did love the, well, it could be worse. It could be raining.
Yeah.
Immediately starts raining.
Just the look Gene Wilder has on his face of like, are you fucking kidding me?
The one I liked was something to do with like his humpback. But then he does like the drum, like the ba-doots.
I think he just had the best lines in the movie. Like the werewolf. Werewolf? There. What? There. Wolf. There. Castle. Why are you talking that way? I thought you wanted to. No, I don't want to. Suit yourself. I'm easy. Just like, all right.
The one where he's like, you know, I'll never forget my old dad when these things would happen to him. Things he would say to me. What did he say? Oh, what the hell are you doing in the bathroom day and night? Why don't you get out of there and give somebody else a chance? So stupid. I think that's where like a Mel Brooks comedy shines, is like the stupid humor like that. Like the werewolf, their wolf. Like those jokes are like just the like so out of like left field like comments to something that's like happening in the movie. Like someone will be like something sincere and then like the answer is just like, what? Like I think that's where it shines. Like it just catches you off guard enough to like be like, oh my
God. The name on the brain was Abby something.
Oh,
Abby,
yeah.
Normal. I'm almost sure that was the name.
I think the thing is, I want more comb the desert jokes in these movies. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm just not getting it. Like in Spaceballs, where he's like, comb the desert. What? Yeah, I said comb the desert. And then it pans to them just like literally going over the desert with these giant combs. It's like, I want that type of joke. I don't know. I feel like I want that humor. And I don't know. It's just not there as much. Seems like. I don't know. They did have the...
You want prop humor. You want Carrot Top.
That's not what I said. It's but it's what you said, which is basically like something happens and then in the next scene or like immediately after something else happens and it catches you off guard and it's like, you know, funny. I just feel like it doesn't happen enough. Like, I feel like the type of humor he's going for is to try and like surprise you a little bit with what's happening. And it's not like, I don't know.
Yeah. I do feel like this one probably has like, I would say probably the lowest like runtime to humor ratio.
Yeah, the joke per minute is a bit lower in this one. Or at least maybe the jokes aren't as poignant. The jokes like don't, I guess, like hit as hard, so it just seems less.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, after watching Blazing Saddles and this, and I remember watching Willy Wonka once upon a time, I don't know. I don't know if Gene Wilder does it for me. I just, like I said that earlier, and just like reflecting on it more, I don't know. Like, am I crazy? I just feel like it, like I'm not, like people are like, oh, he's so good. He's so funny. Like, I watch these movies and I'm like, I don't think it's that funny. Like, it's okay, but.
I don't think Willy Wonka is where you should be gauging your.
I'm not just saying that.
Your Gene Wilder humor.
I'm not just saying that.
Maybe you need to see him outside of Mel Brooks, though.
Maybe, yeah. I will say, though, we have been on kind of a Madeline Kahn kick in the past couple months because we watched Blazing Saddles and Clue and Young Frankenstein now, which are three of her top four movies on IMDb, what she's known for.
Madeline Kahn is the fiance, right?
Yes. Yeah, she's the fiance, and she's Mrs. White in Clue, and she's Lily von Stoop in Blazing Saddles. Which I didn't realize it, I guess. Maybe you said this earlier, but this movie and Blazing Saddles came out in the same year?
Really?
Yeah. They're both 1974 releases.
Mel Brooks out here just working his ass off.
I mean, both of these movies, I imagine, probably didn't take a ton of time to film. I mean, if you look at the IMDb section, it's funny because I did notice this and point this out. In the goof section, the first one on IMDb is that the police inspector's prosthetic arm switches from right to left at a certain part in the movie. And his badge and eye patch also switch sides, meaning that the clip was probably flipped for some reason. But I pointed that out when we watched it. I was like, wait, isn't his prosthetic supposed to be on the other hand?
They do that a lot in different... I don't know as much about movies, but they do it a lot in like TV.
Mm.
Where that's why I think... I remember reading like an interview with someone. And I think it was about like one of the MTV shows or some reality show, and they said they ask that like the people on the show not wear like logos or anything on their shirt unless they're like symmetrical so that they can flip the shot without it being like an issue.
Yeah, I think it happens a lot, like especially if you're trying to like show people like relative to each other.
Yeah.
Cuz like if somebody's talking facing this direction, like from right to left, you would want the other person to be left to right, so they're like, looks like they're talking to each other or whatever. So you could, if you screwed up, guess you could always fake it.
But anyway, what I was trying to say is that there's a fair amount of goofs in the IMDb section.
I just didn't know when you said that, Cam. I didn't know if they were just doing this same gag because they do it with Igor where they're like, what, wasn't your thing on the other side?
That's true. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because in the section it does say it's incorrectly regarded as a goof, but it has no information about why it was included in the first place.
Oh, there is in the trivia section.
Okay.
It says that Marty Feldman had been shifting the hump back and forth for several days. So when the crew finally, when the cast finally noticed, they just wrote it into the script. Basically, he was just fucking around with everyone. And then they finally were like, wait, what? Just put it into the movie, I guess, to explain why it's happening. So it was a goof, but only in the sense that Marty Feldman was just a fucking master meme.
He's a meme lord.
The original, the OG meme lord.
Also, sad fact about that guy, he died at like 47 or something. He died really young due to like a heart attack or something. 48. Ooh. Like, damn, that's so young.
Wow. So yeah, he died of a heart attack, massive heart attack caused by shellfish food poisoning.
Oh my god. Dude died from shellfish? Gave someone food poisoning so bad that they fucking died? That's insane.
That's pretty fucking rough. Yeah, it's another reason not to eat seafood. When Gene Wilder signed on to do Blazing Saddles, he said that he would do it, but the next movie Mel made had to be like his movie idea, and his movie idea was Young Frankenstein.
Interesting. Okay.
So he, I think, came to Mel Brooks like with a lot of the like movie idea done, and then they kind of just hammered out the actual screenplay.
Interesting. Okay.
Going through some of this trivia, the Gene Hackman ad-libbed the last line in the blind man scene. I was going to make espresso. The scene immediately fades to black because the crew erupted into fits of laughter. Hackman was unable to repeat the line without laughing with the rest of the crew, so the first take was used.
Damn.
That scene is so weird. Like, that is the Mel Brooks, like, trademark scene to me, is that one where it's just, like, out of the blue, some random character gets inserted. Man, I really wish I had somebody to spend these last moments with. Shows up. have a whole bit together for about 5 to 10 minutes. It's like the Family Guy type scene, and then just dip out.
You know? Yeah, that's... Mel Brooks reminds me very much of like the Family Guy type of like, oh, let's just cut away to some random joke, but I guess we'll make it work.
I guess Mel Brooks added scenes to continue shooting because they didn't want to stop making the movie. They were having, according to this, they were like, oh, yeah, we're enjoying it so much. We just added shit to shoot again. I'm like, okay, weird.
So I did see where they said the original cut of the movie was like twice as long, and they had to cut a shit ton out. They said for every joke that hit, there were like three that didn't. So they had to cut just a bunch. Well, even this one says, where the hell did that go? In a deleted scene, the monster has a bar mitzvah and is referred to as Young Franklin Stein.
Nah.
A musical number was also filmed that included the song, quote, I want to be a banker.
What?
Wow.
Sung by the monster? Or?
That's all it says. It just included a musical number that said, I want to be a banker.
Did you see this that says in 1974, Aerosmith took a break from a long night of recording to see the film? Steven Tyler wrote the band's hit Walk This Way the morning after seeing the movie, inspired by Marty Feldman's first scene, the Walk This Way scene.
Okay. I 1% inspired by that, 99% inspired by drugs and alcohol.
By copious amounts of cocaine?
Yeah. And
probably prostitutes?
And yeah. Underage prostitutes, most likely. Well, maybe not prostitutes. I don't know. But, yeah.
I wonder if Marty ever, like, got a shout-out for it. Like, do you think he's, like, in the liner of, like, the album?
Oh, I would bet not.
You don't think Steven Tyler's giving out shout outs in the liners?
No. Sure, he's giving out other things, but probably not shout outs in the liners.
tell.
What has Ben, what did you say? I like Aerosmith, but Steven Tyler is a known like child abuser. Like, I like their music, but Steven Tyler's a known, like, yeah, child abuser. Like, I think it was either him. I think it was either him or David Bowie who... All right, I got the answer for you. One of the more bizarre stories of, quote, rock and roll culture, gross way to put it, by the way, Aerosmith rock star Steven Tyler once adopted a 16-year-old groupie, Julia Holcomb, and they dated for 3 years while he was her guardian. It was November 1973. Holcomb had just turned 16, and Steven Tyler was 25.
Wow.
So... true. Unfortunately.
I will say we also never mentioned that all of the like machinery in the lab was the same one that was in like the original from like the 30s.
Wow.
Because the guy who did the equipment for Universal was still alive and just had the stuff in his garage.
Pretty wild.
Like,
I wonder if he had it set up or if it was just like stored away in his garage.
I don't know. It just says Mel Brooks visited him and found out that he had stored all the equipment in his garage. So Mel Brooks made an agreement to rent the equipment and then he gave the guy a screen credit that he never received for the original films.
Wow. None of us had seen this film, surprisingly. So you're going to get a full goob squad. All three of us are going to give you some fresh ratings. Cam. Kick us off.
Let all us right. know
what you thought.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, I thought this was all right. It was funny in parts, but not my favorite movie. Although, as Ben said earlier, I would prefer watching this to most scary movies. I mean, I think that speaks more to how much I don't like scary movies. Not in a sense that like I'm scared by them too much, but more so in a sense that like they don't have any appeal to me personally, unless they're also good movies. But this one was decent. It's a light. It was a fun, lighthearted movie. I'll give it a. Let's give it a 6 out of 10.
Let's go with a 7. You know, I think it was funny. I was cracking up. I was never like, you know, like dying of laughter. But it has a lot of great little like quips and bits that are gonna make you chuckle. There's a lot of moments where I was like, really? Which, you know, I like doing that, like being caught off guard. I think it's a kind of cheesy, corny movie. Like, I feel like you're not necessarily going to come in here and be blown away, but I think it's a solid time. It's only what, like an hour and 40 minutes? I think it's a solid like hour 40, especially if you're just trying to get in the mood for the spooky season, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I was right at about like 6-7 in that area. I enjoy the fact that this, I guess when I think about it, like, you think about the way comedies, like Scary Movie, like the first one that kind of played off of like Scream and other like horror genre tropes. This movie did that with universal horror movies of like the early, what, 30s and 40s. And it took that and made a mockery of it in a comedy that became like a giant genre of comedy for a decade. I appreciate the way that they filmed it, that they made it feel like an old black and white universal. I thought that was a really cool way of doing it, almost making it feel like it was supposed to be like the next in the series. I like Gene Wilder. I like the dry. It's weird. He almost plays the straight man, but also not the straight man. Like, he balances that really interestingly to me, and I think that's one of the reasons I really like it. But I do appreciate that this kind of felt like Mel Brooks reined in. So like it was Mel Brooks in a sense, but at the same time it was like, okay, we're not going to do a bunch of like just completely cutaway jokes or, you know, these things that don't really make sense. We're going to try to keep it a little bit more in line with what's actually going on in the movie. This would definitely be a movie that goes into like a Halloween rotation for someone who doesn't like scary movies.
Hit up the Drizzling Cash links below. Check out the show notes. Make yourself a Frankenstein cocktail. Share us with your friends and family. Give us a rating. Spotify, Apple. Helps us out. Check us out on the next one. And as always, watch responsibly.